I'm of the opinion that the breakdown happened when people started to devalue themselves.
Okay.
I've heard people say, oh, I'm just a barber.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times barbering is a trade that people, if you have a small amount of raw talent mm-hmm. to do, you can go to barber school a lot of times and you can be pushed through.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by pushed through is if your money's right, you can get out of barber school mm-hmm. quicker than normal.
Okay.
So if a person already has a bit of a talent for it,
mm-hmm.
but they want to do it legally,
mm-hmm.
they'll do that route. So now I have a license, I can go and work in a shop. Or if I was in high school and they offered barbering as a trade,
yeah.
or if I was in the correctional facility and I picked it up as a trade.
Mm-hmm.
These are all ways that, you know what, I at least I can do something.
Yeah.
When people don't recognize that what they, the value of their hands, the value of their craft, they pass that on to the people that they service.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care, they're apathetic.
It's just a hustle.
Right, there you go. It's a hustle. For me, barbering is not a hustle, it's a career. You know, it's a passion, it's not some side thing that I do. But that's by divine order.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
I'm gonna give a shout out right now. Bar none, the best barbers in the world are in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yes, absolutely.
I believe that with every fiber of my being.
I agree.
I am proud to be a groomer here in the DMV area, but I will tell you, the best training that I got was when I went to Philadelphia.
Mm.
I reached out, I'm a YouTube kind of guy, so I will look at YouTube, look at different techniques. How can I perfect my shape up?
Yes.
How can I get my beard game right?
Mm-hmm.
And every video I saw, it wasn't showing any techniques, but you saw Philadelphia. So I was like, you know what? I'm on a mission. So I started to reach out to barbers in Philadelphia. And I said who I was. I'd like to learn your technique. What are your fees? Because I believe in paying for what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that anybody should give me anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sought out quite a few. And I'm going to tell you, I got turned down. But one guy, his name is Fahim Alexander. And I give all homage to Fahim Alexander in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He talked to me. We had a great conversation. He said, brother, come on down to my shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I came to a shop and I was completely blown away, and it changed my life forever.
In what ways, like when you first stepped in and just saw what was taking place, like how were you blown away?
One of the biggest things in barbering and for black guys, African American guys, or whatever, is our shape up.
Mm.
Okay, that is
make
the
or break a cut.
That's right. That is the hardest thing in barbering. A lot of barbers will beg to differ, but I say the hardest thing is the shape up. And they perfected the art of the shape up. It's very simple what they do, and you said it. You didn't even realize what you said. You talked about it from there's something to this barbering thing. A shampoo is the thing that can change your shape up.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a molding process that takes place
mm-hmm.
when your hair is shampooed. It's being manipulated.
Yes.
Okay, so after you've gotten that shampoo, they're gonna brush your hair a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're gonna lay that hair down.
Yes.
And then they're gonna come out with some precise shape up liners,
mm-hmm.
and they're gonna hit it. That's how you're gonna get that nice, crisp, clean shape up without compromising your hairline.
Yes.
You go on any street corner in Philadelphia, you also said you probably got one bad haircut. Because in Philadelphia, you can go just about on any street corner.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a barbershop, you can go in there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not vouching for customer service or anything like that, but I am vouching for a great haircut.
The quality of the cut.
And I feel like it's something to the whole barbering, the fact that we present ourselves in a particular way. And I'll give you an example. Oftentimes, when a person needs to get their nails done, they'll look and see a corner, oh, there's a nail shop right there. Let me get this quick manicure. Mm-hmm. Because that community has been known for giving you a quick service, an efficient service at a good price. Mm-hmm. I feel like the same thing could happen, and it does happen in Philadelphia,
yes,
in the way of getting a good haircut. Mm-hmm. So if that perception can be with getting a good haircut, why can't you marriage a good haircut and good customer service? And that's where I step in.
I think the customer service thing.
I'll say it because this is how I feel. We as Black African American men, we head trip too much about a lot of stuff as it relates to getting service. Okay?
Explain.
And what I mean by that is that for someone to offer you a drink who looks just like you, and I'm not talking like alcoholic drink, it could be just a glass of water, mm-hmm, in a certain way that lets you know that I'm here to serve you. I don't get it twisted. I'm in the service business. That's what I do. So once I got that straight, I'm here to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
A king doesn't mind being served. But if you're not used to being treated like a king, it's weird.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like we have so much head trip, because outside of Millennium, we don't know how you're treated. You deal with a lot from your boss, your wife, your whoever. When you come in, you're gonna relax.
Yeah.
Because there's no ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We know what we do, we know why we do it, and we know why you're here. It's just that simple.
Right.
Or is it the opposite?
I think that a lot of barbers have a great measure of competency, mm-hmm, in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I know that I always want to be relevant.
Okay.
And I had to humble myself, and that's a big word in the barbering industry. Humble myself and recognize what I don't know.
So it's safe to say that most barbers are arrogant?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because in a matter of under 20 minutes or more, we can make you go from a 0 to a 10.
Mm-hmm.
The average guy, you can come in looking one way, and, you know, you've seen the memes. You know, we had the great fortune of doing a homeless effort with
I was gonna ask you about the Sunday Soul,
right,
event.
That was a great
Cuts for the Homeless.
That was a great effort. When I had the blessing to groom a young man,
mm-hmm,
and what he looked like before and what he looked like after was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that touching on what the power that barbers have, groomers have, is that we have the ability to uplift someone's spirit.
Yes.
Just, I did it through a haircut, but I connected with him first before the haircut began.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a place where we can exchange information and knowledge, but we also can empower and inspire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he sat in the chair, and I was like, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" He was like, "Man, I'm okay." I was like, "Man, you better than okay. You're a rock star." That's what I said to him when I was draping him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Man, you're a rock star. When I finish with you, you're going to get all kind of numbers." That's what I said to
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And he kind of chuckled. You know, I didn't make any judgment on him as it relates to, you probably haven't had a date in whatever, you know what I'm saying, based on him being homeless. But what I saw in him was a person who could use an encouraging word.
Yeah, because I 3 things you love.
What I love about DC is still the mix of sophisticated Black people.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing that I love. The fact that you can go to you can go to the Four Seasons and see somebody who lives in DC,
mm-hmm,
at the Bourbon at the Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go to anywhere in DC and walk around and see somebody who looks like you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying just someone who looks like you, somebody that might either work where you in your same profession, somebody that you can still identify with.
Yes, yes.
That's what I love about DC. And I do love the fact that there is a a level of respect. There's a measure of respect for people. And that's when I say by measure, you're not going to be looked at crazy if you get on the metro.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're not. It's going to be like, okay, you're on the metro, I'm on the metro. You get on the bus, you're on the bus, I'm on the bus. No one's going to look at you like you don't. I love the fact that there are a lot of African Americans here who are beginning to wake up. And what I mean by wake up, there's a new, in my opinion, a level of consciousness. I think that we slept. We've been asleep.
Absolutely.
And I think that 8 years of our amazing President Obama put us to sleep. We rested. We felt like, oh, we're here. We're good.
We have arrived.
We've arrived, and we haven't. And I think that as much as I hate the guy who's in the White House now, I feel like we're waking up now, understanding that this stuff is alive and well. Racism is alive and well. But we can't. I like the fact that I affiliate with so many people who said, you know what? I'm still going to do me. I'm going to strengthen my own. And my own is you. You're part of me because we're family. We're going to strengthen our family. We're going to support each other.
Yes.
We don't need them. We can empower our own self as opposed to, oh man, waiting for to find out what they're going to do for me. I've been an entrepreneur all my life.
Yes.
All of my adult life. All the money that I've made, most of it, is because of being an entrepreneur. So I understand the grind. I understand the hustle. I understand that you gotta sleep when you can.
Yes.
You gotta grind all the time. You're always looking. I'm always looking for an opportunity to make my family secure.
Like that.
I always love this question because once I explain it to you, it's gonna make so much sense to you. You're gonna wonder why you didn't realize it yourself. Number one, growing up as a Seventh-day Adventist, there are very few outlets that our church condone.
Yes.
You either played basketball, you sang, or you dress your ass off. Okay? Those were your three outlets.
I would have never thought fashion, but okay.
You it's an energy. I'm not partying. I'm not drinking. I'm not clubbing.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm making my gear tight because I'm going to church. Okay?
Okay.
So I can't sing. I don't play basketball. So fashion was the natural inclination for me.
Okay.
So in understanding fashion, you have to look at colors and concepts. So I'm a barber.
Yeah.
Okay. A barber capitalized on shapes and angles. If you look at my floral arrangement, once I tell you, my floral designs are very architectural.
Yes.
It's their sculpt, their haircuts, what they are. If you go back, if you look, their lines, it's their haircuts. So it was a natural progression for me to go into the floral piece. And I came by really right now. Think of the colors of nature, of fall. Man says that fall is orange and yellow. No, rich fall is purple, hot pink, burnt orange, red, jewel tones. That's what real fall is. And so I take my clue from that. And I marriage food, fruit with flowers because the color palettes are the same. And it's dope when you put them together.
That is.
And I want to dispel a rumor, a myth, not a rumor, a myth. Floral arrangement is very difficult. It's manly because you're building stuff. You have to lift heavy boxes.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
It's a male dominated feel. You cannot be. Women usually have to hire men. Because you buckets of water that weigh 20 pounds and you put flowers in them, boxes that you got to lift, you got to go on trucks, you got to go on lift ladders, you know, you're always building stuff.
Yeah.
We build trees that we have to cut and then fit in a truck. You got to know how to drive a big truck. You follow me? So it's extremely physical. most people who will look at my work, oh, I want to work with you, I want to do it, they last about a half a day. Mm-hmm. It's very physical.
To bring up, just looking at your work.
Can you diffuse hypermasculinity in the barbershop?
Yes.
Is that a place?
Yes, thank you for bringing that together succinctly. Appreciate that.
I think that you can, but I think it will be extremely difficult to do. Mm-hmm. Because I feel, I'm of the opinion, number one, a lot of the millennials, the younger cats that come into our space, mm-hmm. I think they're easier to reach.
Okay.
I feel like once you hit 35 and up, you're ingrained and you are who you are.
Even though the men who are 35 and older have more of the income to be able to spend on
yes.
your services.
Yes.
They're still like, nah.
No, I think that there is, it's almost like, yeah, it's the mentality. Mm-hmm. Because to have the disposable income to do it, if their mind is not right, they don't.
Yeah.
But what tends to happen is they will experience it mm-hmm. through, we do grooming packages okay. for grooms and the groomsmen. Mm-hmm. They'll come, oh, I got to do this because, you know, old boy hooks us up, say all of us supposed to come here and you know, we're going to, you know, y'all going to, you know. They will talk the entire time about the fact that they had to come. But they will be the ones, they'll come and enjoy every aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because they don't feel secure and that they can just say, you know what, I like this. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's a mentality, whereas the younger cats, they'll say, wow, I wish I had more of the income to do this because this helps me to feel good, which allows me to go out and do the things I need to do mm-hmm. outside. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like for me, the young brothers that come through, I'm talking about the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. That's who we're targeting in terms of letting them see kings.
Yeah. Opportunity, right. And you're just giving it the best that you can.
I feel like you kind of hit the nail on the head in a lot of ways, and I'll explain to you like this. I'm inspired by people,
mm-hmm.
and what inspires me more is to see somebody else trying to be the best that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that we all can identify in each other. We understand energy. You know when you get a bad vibe.
Yes.
You know when you get a good vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I trust the spirit within myself.
Yes.
I trust it wholeheartedly,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like God has blessed me to interface with some incredible people.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that it seems like the more conscious a person is, the more willing they are to give. And I feel like that's why we're on this earth. We're not on this earth to take.
Mm-hmm.
We are on this earth to give.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is a school teacher. And to